Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're here to help you win the ultimate bragging rights, a fantasy title.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in on Monday as we did that live mock draft on the air. I hope you found it enjoyable. Today, we're going to recap it a little bit, talk about some teams that took different approaches and see which we like better. And later on, we're talking to Nando DeFino. It's Nando Day. Hey, Dave, Jamie, and new Nando.
New Nando.
Yeah. Right down to the beard and everything.
And now we figured out why you grew the beard.
I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
Heath, I haven't seen Heath in a week. I come back to the office today. Heath's got a beard. We've got Nando on the podcast. Nando always had a beard.
Still
does. I don't know if I've ever seen Nando without a beard.
Once.
Maybe. Like a baby photo?
No. He shaved it like down very closely. But the beard is my calling card.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if everybody knows who Nando is. Nando DeFino used to be an analyst on our show. Yeah, he now works for the Fantasy Sports Network. We'll talk to him a little bit later. probably going to be mostly about me, but hopefully it'll be about football. Until then, we will have a lot of football. We're going to,
Wait,
can you just...
We have toasts.
All right. You're surprising me with this.
Next week, we start reading the toasts.
All right, next week, we start reading the toasts. Let me just talk
to... Send them in.
Everybody, what's on the show today. We're going to look at, like I said, a couple teams, compare them. Dave wasn't on the Monday show, so we'll let him talk about his team. I want to talk about interesting late-round picks like Jacquizz Rodgers, Jonathan Stewart, and Latavius Murray going in round 10. Is Marquise Lee worth taking around 11 of a 12-team league? And we have an update on the vasectomy that Tracy had, and some good news in that regard. Here's a random tweet that has...
What did I miss?
Yeah, a lot. Here's a random tweet that has nothing to do with the primary topic of today's episode, but I find it interesting anyway. It's from You Hate Me. PPR Dynasty League, 14 teams. McCaffrey or A.J. Green in a PPR Dynasty League? McCaffrey or A.J. Green? What do you think?
A.J. Green.
Not even close.
Nope.
I agree. A.J. Green.
No one else thought that was interesting, Adam.
Wow. Look, A.J. Green's going into his seventh season. He's going to be 29 in July. Christian McCaffrey was a top 10 pick. He's a running back, and it's not even close?
Not even close.
No. Well-established receiver who you should still be able to get 5-plus years out of versus running back with plenty of upside and certainly in a PPR league, plenty of catches, but we haven't seen him play a single snap. We don't know. We think we know what the offense is going to look like in Carolina. Can't say with absolute certainty. Not even sure if McCaffrey's got the body to hold up for 5-plus years in the NFL.
Well, and
wow.
It's true.
We are kind of bad as a group, not us, but just the world, at predicting things that are going to happen in the next 12 months. Predicting what's going to be 5 years from now is even worse. Like, you could say A.J. Green's going to be 34 in 5 years and McCaffrey's going to be better then, and he probably is. But the next 2 or 3 years, it's not even close.
Well, what if I change that to Leonard Fournette? A.J. Green or Leonard Fournette?
In PPR, I don't really think there's a whole lot of difference.
But long term, I mean, I think that you can expect more of a typical role for Fournette. I think he's a little bit easier to take in a dynasty league than McCaffrey.
Yeah, and if this isn't a dynasty startup and I'm good at wide receiver, then of course I'm going to take Fournette. But in most cases, if you're making this decision, it's with a dynasty league that's beginning anew, I'd still go Green.
I'm taking Green in any format, dynasty startup, dynasty established. Doesn't matter.
All right, last one. Green or Fournette, but Green gets 1 point for every 10 receiving yards. Fournette gets 1 point for every 1 rushing yard.
What, do all running backs or just Fournette?
Just Fournette.
Just Fournette. Well, then I would have to take Fournette.
Okay. Fournette's the number one overall
fan. All right, time for your vasectomy update. This will be the last time we talk about this. Ow! This is from Tracy, who had the vasectomy and wrote us earlier in the week. Said, Tuesday, I started up my favorite podcast for my drive to work. I heard my email read during the intro. I immediately stopped the podcast and saved it for my Thursday morning procedure. During one of the more unpleasant periods of the procedure, I heard you say everything was looking good down there, and I literally laughed out loud. Your podcast has been there for me for the past 6 to 7 years on my 20-minute drives to work as I mow the lawn, and now this vasectomy. Thanks for all you do.
Wait.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I completely understood what was going on here. I've not had a vasectomy.
Are you not familiar with the procedure?
No, I'm familiar with the procedure. I was not familiar that you were awake throughout the procedure.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently you are.
Yeah. I'm out. No, thank you.
Well, just listen to a live.
I were to ever have a vasectomy, I think I would absolutely be knocked out cold.
Okay. So maybe you get a choice.
Maybe. Maybe some people do and some people don't.
Well, Tracy is a better man than me.
Yeah, I would say. So, Tracy, thank you for listening and thank you for taking us with you, even in the most unpleasant experiences. Let me apologize for my voice, which is fading by the day. I'm working on that. Apologize
Jamie,
for
get a hold of yourself.
Jamie's laughter. Dave, welcome back. How was your trip?
That was good, Adam.
Your fart's still here, by the way. He never left.
Come on now.
Your fart's still here. Never left.
What are you talking about? If I ever farted in the podcast room, it certainly would have left by now.
Well, I'm glad you're back. And yes, so throwing off my game. What were the overall takeaways from Monday's draft? Jamie wrote a column about it, and I have a takeaway, but I'll let you guys go first. Overall takeaways from Monday's 12-team standard scoring draft.
Feels like it was a month ago. I thought it was a great draft, to be honest with you, that there weren't a lot of bad picks like we generally see. We did a draft for our magazine with people that we usually don't draft with, and there were more of that because I think those are not necessarily
they're not in mid-season form.
The owners that we're not used to drafting with, so we see other picks. You know, we see people with right. different thoughts, and so that was fun in a different way. This draft that we did on Monday that we talked about while we were on the air was, I think, very conventional. There weren't just a lot of like, oh my gosh, this guy took this person here. There weren't a lot of reaches for players. I thought it was a very good guide to follow if you're looking to follow a draft now.
It was
before
a tougher
everything
draft.
Changes.
It was definitely tough, and I think it gives you an idea of where we see a lot of the best players, the best sleepers, where they're going, players that aren't going to be popular, how far they're falling. There were a lot of tough choices to be made. I know I had some difficult choices. After I took Gronk in round two, I definitely felt like I was drafting from behind and trying to play catch up with the rest of the league. I think I made up for it. I think my draft was okay, but it's not my best work for sure.
I loved this draft. I love drafting from the sixth spot. If you have an auction where you get to choose, or a draft where you get to choose where you draft from, take number six. It's awesome.
Does it have to do with getting one of those big six players and then just getting this first crack at a player in round two ahead of everybody else that takes a big six player?
That's a big part of it, but then also drafting on the corners is not very much fun, in my opinion. And so it's you get that big six player, and then you get the best second round player of anybody that has one of those guys, if you make the right pick. And then you don't have to wait very long for your next pick every time. You don't have to worry too much about 14 running backs should be gone before I pick again.
Okay. I don't really have a problem picking anywhere at this point. It'd be nice to have top six.
12 is awful.
I don't agree, because you go receiver, you get two studs.
Yeah, and then you take Carlos Hyde or Mark Ingram
in round three, right? Yeah. The problem is that if you have an early first-round pick, it's unlikely that you're going to get a wide receiver that you're totally jazzed about in round two. And if you've got a late first-round pick / early second-round pick and you take two receivers there, you're going to have a running back left in round three that you're not going to be that excited about.
All right, so then go running back receiver. Take Jordan Howard.
That might be the easiest way to go about it.
RJ
White. I think that's what most people are going to do. I think that's going to be the strategy that people gravitate toward. That's what you'll see in most of your drafts. 8+ teams will start their draft with one of each.
Yeah. RJ White took Jordan Howard 11. He took Jordy Nelson four picks later. Then he took Christian McCaffrey and Tom Brady. You know, one thing I noticed, I want to get your opinion on this, round 5 running backs. So that's 49 through 60. not all of them running backs. Round five is 49 through 60 in a 12-team league. I feel like these guys could make or break your team. And we're looking at Marshawn, because I don't really like a lot of these guys if they go in round four. That's when I was reaching for Amir Abdullah, and I realized, no, I'm going too early on him. He's more of a round five guy. But Marshawn Lynch, Eddie Lacy, Paul Perkins, Spencer Ware, Dalvin Cook, Amir Abdullah, Ty Montgomery. Marshawn Lynch, Eddie Lacy, Paul Perkins, Spencer Ware, Dalvin Cook, Amir Abdullah, Ty Montgomery. I mean, there's a lot of potential here in round five. And I feel like this is
it's even round six, too.
All right, I'll keep going. Tevin Coleman, CJ Anderson, Rob Kelly, Kareem Hunt.
Okay, we're done.
Doug Martin.
Yeah, I would have stopped at Anderson, but
yeah. Fair enough. Whatever it is.
For the tier ends.
Whatever it is, I mean, these are really exciting players, but scary players at the same time, could make or break your team. And the first thing I want to know as I get you started on this group here, why does Eddie Lacy go, and it's not always, but I've been seeing in some drafts, this case he did not, he went before. But sometimes I see Lacy going after Perkins, after Abdullah, after Cook. He goes after a lot of unproven running backs.
We feel pretty confident that those guys are going to show up to camp in shape and be ready to start week one.
He's
and
in shape. He's hitting the weight clauses.
He's working towards it. He's not reached number, has he?
No, but he also still coming back from the ankle injury. I mean, there's just issues with Lacy. That's the thing. It's not a slam dunk for any of these guys, which is why they're in this spot. But there's also, like you said, Adam, there's plenty of upside there. I just think like what Heath is alluding to is, even though Perkins is unproven and Montgomery didn't do a lot last year, you're banking on the upside of those guys in a lot of cases compared to Lacy.
Yeah, but does Lacy not have upside? I think Lacy has upside.
I think he has upside too. I think he has. We've got a more certain thing that we can point to as his downside.
So take a look at that group and tell me, you know, likes and dislikes. Who do you target in that group? Let me read it again because I know it's hard for people who aren't looking. Marshawn Lynch, Lacy, Perkins, Spencer Ware, Dalvin Cook, Abdullah, Montgomery, Coleman, CJ Anderson.
I took two of those guys. I mean, that was the way I structured my team. So I ended up with Abdullah at the end of the fifth round and CJ Anderson at the beginning of the sixth round, and I love it. I mean, you know, I know the risk that's involved with those two guys, but I'm pairing those two with Melvin Gordon, and I have three top 20 receivers the way I have it ranked. So I just need one of those guys really to hit if Gordon does what he's supposed to do. And I'm thrilled with that strategy.
I like both of those guys and Montgomery and Perkins a lot more than I like Marshawn Lynch. He went at the first of this group, mm-hmm. and I would put him at the very end.
I agree with that.
But the funny thing is that I bet most of our listeners will be in drafts where Marshawn Lynch goes even earlier than round
five. Oh, Marshawn Lynch's average draft position is
like round two.
Well, that's our job to make sure they're not the ones taking it.
Right. So if you see Marshawn Lynch in round five, it's not a bad value. And he's probably my favorite of the group right now, believe it or not. Ahead of I love Dalvin Cook. He's right behind him. CJ Anderson would be next for me after those guys. I think Marshawn Lynch has the potential to get a lot of touchdowns, not necessarily a ton of yards. I don't think he's going to get a lot of work until we get to December if he stays healthy, but it is a good situation for him, and there is potential there, and I like the fact that he was participating at minicamp. I think that that's a good thing. We're not going to get the Marshawn Lynch of 2013-2014.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be that good, but I think he's going to be – I think if you can get him in round five, that's a good gamble. Dalvin Cook, I think, has the most upside of anybody in the group.
And it's hard to know how this is going to play out, but if you want two of these guys, then it helps to have a late pick in the first round, which is also a late pick in the fifth round. Because if you had the fourth overall pick instead of the 10th overall pick, you wouldn't have gotten two of these guys. You would have had to go late round four, early round five, instead of late round five, early round six, you know?
Yeah, but I would have drafted differently, though.
Yeah, you would have drafted differently. All right, and as time goes on, we'll see how these guys move up and down. I
would expect that Perkins and Montgomery and Ware are going to be available even later than this in several drafts.
I don't know if Perkins will, because people are going to see him as the lead guy in New York.
He has been in MFL 10 so far.
Going later than this?
Yes.
I'm so conflicted on him. I'm not really feeling it with Paul Perkins. I feel like touchdowns are going to be an issue, and the line might stink, but yep. I do see a lot of opportunity and not a lot of competition. Give me your thoughts on Paul Perkins.
I think there's going to be competition for touches.
With who?
He'll lead the way in touches among the running backs, but I think the Giants are going to throw a lot.
Oh, okay. Well, that yeah. But among the running backs, like, he's going to...
Yeah.
If things go right, Paul Perkins is going to lead the team in carries by a lot.
But that's going to be... Is it going to be 200 carries?
Yes, if he's healthy.
Yeah, that's kind of a low number for 16 games. 250?
I'm questioning 200, much less 250.
Carries or touches?
Carries.
Yeah, I would think so. All right, guys. Well, we have more to talk about with this draft. I do also want to tell everybody about the Commissioner product. Go to cbssports.com/fantasy. We have an all new and improved product that launched. This is really the best place to be playing fantasy football. So play on cbssports.com. You won't regret it. We also have our magazine coming out. All right, Beckett.
It's out.
Perfect. It's $7.99. That's awesome. It looks really cool. The content is great. These guys have been working so hard on it. BeckettMedia.com/books. You want me to give the whole URL, Jamie? And it's probably better to just go search for it on there. This is a bit of a long URL, but BeckettMedia.com/books/fantasy-football/fantasy-football-1-2017. I think just search for it on BeckettMedia.com, and it's really awesome. We'll tweet links and all that stuff. $7.99. Get a head start on everybody, and we have amazing content out on the website now as well. All right, let's read an email. Our email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from David from the Pineda Causeway. Does that sound like a real place to you? The Pineda Causeway?
Causeway.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, doesn't, I think it's
again, it's so... Actually, it looks like it's in Florida.
Okay.
So...
That's right. Pineda Causeway. I'd never heard of it. Dear, we want it and that way. Mm-hmm. It's my karaoke song. Thanks for doing the live mock draft. Jamie, if you were happy with a handful of wide receivers available around the time you picked Davante Adams, if you were happy with a handful of wide receivers available around the time you picked Davante Adams, why not pick a top tight end like Jordan Reed in that spot and still get your wide receiver in round four? So Jamie took Davante Adams in round three. I guess you said you were happy with the other wide receivers there. Why not take Jordan Reed there and then take a wide receiver in round four, which you also did. You took Crabtree.
Well, I didn't think that the way it worked out, that Adams, Demaryius Thomas, Michael Crabtree would all make it back to me. So I don't think that if I pass on Adams and I take Jordan Reed at 34 at the end of the third round. So if I go Reed, I don't know if RJ, Scott Riley, or RJ again don't take those three receivers.
Right.
Instead.
Okay.
So you might have been stuck with Crabtree.
No, I took Crabtree in the fourth
round. I know, but you would have had Jordan Reed and Crabtree versus Devonta
Adams. Right. I think that's the question. But I also think that if you take Jordan Reed out of the equation, what does Scott Riley do with that pick at the end of the third round? So does he take a Adams, Thomas pick, and maybe RJ does something different?
My guess is that he takes Adams.
Yeah. Right. So you like the wide receivers, but you still felt like... But Adams was your second receiver. You already had T.Y. Hilton and Melvin Gordon.
But right. if knowing what you know now, would you rather have Reed and Crabtree over Adams and Crabtree?
No.
Okay. So it doesn't even matter.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Crabtree is a flex for you?
Yeah.
Okay. And
that's still a starter last time I checked.
I'll confirm that.
All right.
Yes, flex is a starter. The second part of this question was to me, why not pick Lamar Miller in round three? So I started my team with Ezekiel Elliott second overall, and then I took Jay Ajayi in the second round. And then I was thinking about taking Lamar Miller and getting a third running back in a standard scoring league for flex, which apparently is a starter, but I went with Allen Robinson. So David from the Pineda Causeway, which exists, why did I go with Allen Robinson over Lamar Miller? I'm not starting my team with three running backs. It's like, Miller wasn't even good last year.
Neither was Allen Robinson.
No.
That's your theory.
I know, and I said that on the show, I think. But I'm not starting my team with three running backs. It's too risky of a position. And if I don't take a wide receiver there, who's the best wide receiver available the next time I pick, which is almost two full rounds later? Tyreek Hill and Martavis Bryant. I'm not comfortable with them as my number one.
Golden Tate.
Yeah, but Golden Tate gets 5 touchdowns a year. He's a PPR guy.
Well, how many did Robinson score last year?
How many did he score the year before? 14?
I was very happy with Lamar Miller because I was thrilled with getting him at the 6th pick of the 3rd round.
Yeah, that was nice. But if you had already had 2 running backs, would you have taken Lamar Miller there?
No, I would have taken Terrell Pryor.
There we go. Got to get a wide receiver, at least one who has stud potential. Okay, so let's take a look at 2 different teams. George's team, he was, I think, the closest to 0. Did anybody go true 0 RB?
What is true 0
RB? I don't know. 5 rounds? 4 rounds of that one?
I did not.
George went 3 rounds before taking. He took 2 wide receivers and Aaron Rodgers with his first 3 picks, and then he took 4 running backs in a row. Whereas Nick had the first overall pick, and he took 2 running backs with his first 3 picks. Actually, his first 2 picks, but he had the swing. And 3 of his first 5 picks were running backs. So let's see which team we like better in a standard scoring league. Nick's team, Derek Carr, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Marshawn Lynch, and Thomas Rawls. Oh, they're not on the same team. Never mind. Marshawn Lynch, Thomas Marshawn Lynch and Jalen Richard and Thomas Rawls. So Derek Carr, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Marshawn Lynch, Thomas Rawls, Jalen Richard, Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, Kelvin Benjamin, Corey Coleman, Mike Williams, Breshad Perryman, and Tyler Eifert. Again, his running backs are Bell and Gurley plus Lynch. His wide receivers are Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill, and then Kelvin Benjamin, Corey Coleman, Mike Williams, Tyler Eifert. He has Eifert at tight end. He has Derek Carr at quarterback. George, who did not pick a running back until round 4, has Aaron Rodgers, Mike Gillisley, Eddie Lacy, Doug Martin, Frank Gore, and Deontay Foreman. Mike Gillisley, Eddie Lacy, Doug Martin, and Frank Gore. His wide receivers are very good. Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, John Brown, Marquise Lee, Sterling Shepard. Again, Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, John Brown, Marquise Lee, and Sterling Shepard. And his tight end is Jack Doyle.
Well, Jamie likes George's team.
Dave likes George's team, too.
Yeah, Jack Doyle.
Yeah, and a lot of other great players, too. I think the one thing I wrote about George's team in the column, he had a chance to take Jacquizz Rodgers, I think, where he took Deontay Foreman. That, to me, just makes a lot more sense to take Rodgers and have that Tampa Bay backfield locked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would have liked to see a better 4th receiver instead of Marquise Lee, Sterling Shepard, as the 2 top reserve, essentially 2 top reserve guys there, because Brown to me is a potential flex. But yeah, I like this team a lot.
I like the start of Nick's team a lot. It's very, very top heavy though, and I just feel like, and I guess we could maybe go through and look at the receivers that were available to him when he took some of these other guys, but I feel like If those 3rd, 4th, 5th receivers were a little bit more inspiring, then I might like Nick's teams better. But I would agree that I like George's the most.
I think he's got more upside with his receivers. Corey Coleman, Mike Williams, Breshad Perryman. Those are 3 guys that you'll hear about as breakout
not Perryman
candidates.
Anymore.
Well, I still think Perryman has a chance. I know Jeremy Maclin is the greatest receiver.
But he crushes Perryman's value tremendously.
He might. Or Breshad Perryman plays like a house of fire in the preseason, and the Ravens have no choice but to put him up there. The Ravens are counting on him.
Are they?
I think Maclin is the insurance policy.
I think Maclin's a starter.
No,
I think he could be the starter, too, and Mike Wallace could end up going inside.
There you go. Well, no,
but they're
Mike
all
going
to play.
I think Maclin's going in.
They're all
going
to play,
But there's a such thing as being too sexy, maybe. And Nick went Corey Coleman and Mike Williams at the 8-9 turn, and that's really, really sexy.
Is it sexy the word or stupid the word?
But I know I'm on Mike Wallace Island, but Mike Wallace and Cameron Meredith are going to outscore Corey Coleman.
So is Eric Decker.
And Eric Decker.
Yeah.
You take those guys, or Randall Cobb. You take those guys at the 8-9 turn.
Or Quincy Enunwa.
Yes. Then Nick has
all much more upside than the 2 guys he took. Maybe not Corey Coleman.
There's wide receivers late that you can fill your roster with, but you can't just go.
I think it might have been just Mike Williams, because Corey Coleman certainly got plenty of potential. It's the Mike Williams pick at that spot with those other guys still on the board.
So let me just compare the running backs. I know it's hard for people that you're not seeing the teams to memorize all of it. How much better are Nick's running backs than George's? Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Marshawn Lynch, Rawls, and Rashard, compared to Gillislee, Lacy, Doug Martin, Frank Gore, and Deontay Foreman.
There's no contest.
It's here. So much better.
It's worlds better, but I think it's the only area where Nick's team is better than Georgia's.
No, but it's the hardest area to replace. It's the hardest area to win on waivers.
No, it's not.
It's also, though, the hardest area to predict.
It's not the hardest to win on waivers? I mean, it's okay. Running back's interesting because, yes, you can find your Rob Kelly's. But you don't want to be short at running back and playing with the waiver wire. It's not an easy thing to do. Everybody's after those guys. You know, like it's not ideal. It's a thin position. It's a thin position.
It's not ideal to have Mike Gillislee and Eddie Lacy as your top two running backs.
It is when you have Aaron Rodgers, Julio Jones, and
exactly,
Michael Thomas.
That's the flip side to it.
Yeah. All right. We all like Georgia's team
better.
Want
to talk about sexy? I think it's sexy that Julio Jones and Michael Thomas are on the same team. Getting two of those top 9, 8 fantasy wide receivers it's going to be a little tricky to do. And especially if you're picking where Julio Jones goes, where did George pick? Fifth overall? It's not going to be easy to get those guys there.
Well, he's gifted it to him by taking Doug Baldwin ahead of Michael Thomas.
You took Doug Baldwin ahead of Michael Thomas?
We already had this argument.
Are you standing by it?
I'm standing by it. They were basically the same guy last year. Baldwin's done it 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Baldwin isn't a good receiver.
It's a little hard for Michael Thomas to do it 2 years in a row. He's been in the league 1 year.
I'm just saying there's
and
a little
And isn't Michael Thomas your guy?
Michael Thomas was my guy when he was going in the ninth round.
You're not taking him in round 2 anymore?
Okay. No, I'll take him in round 2. I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying anything bad about Michael Thomas. The only thing I said
Other
was,
than saying that you'll take Doug Baldwin ahead of
that's
him.
That's not saying something bad about him.
It's horrible what you just said about Michael Thomas.
Doug Baldwin is good. Stop disparaging Doug Baldwin.
Doug Baldwin is good, but Michael Thomas has a chance to be
just to give
better
you,
and more
again,
consistent.
Not that this is the end-all be-all. Fantasy Pros ADP. Michael Thomas is 17th overall. Doug Baldwin, anybody want to guess?
26.
28.
No, I'll say 24th.
Heath is the closest. 30.
30th.
Oh.
I'll do my part to keep driving it up.
I listen. Doug Baldwin's good. He's not as obviously not as good as Michael Thomas. He's not as
what
good
do you mean
as
he's obviously not as good as Michael Thomas.
I'm trying to transition to a sponsorship read, okay? He's not as good as Blue Apron. Tonight is going to
I have a question for you, by the way.
Yes.
Is Blue Apron catering your wedding?
No, Blue Apron is not catering my wedding, but that wouldn't be such a bad thing. The only problem would be I would have to make all of it. But Blue Apron tonight, I already made the spinach and ricotta cannelloni, so tonight it's going to be either the Cajun chicken spice or the Cajun spice chicken with potato salad and cabbage slaw, or we're going seared steak and fingerling potatoes with charred onion and butter lettuce salad. This is awesome. I mean, this stuff is so good. You want to make these awesome meals? You want 3 free meals? Go to blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. 3 free amazing meals with free shipping. blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. I'm kind of obsessed with Blue Apron. I talk about it all the time. I love cooking now. I love cooking with my fiance. We always enjoy it. The meals are easy to make. The quality of the ingredients can't be beat. You can really tell how fresh everything is. You get exactly what you need, nothing more or less. You don't waste food, which I like. You got variety with Blue Apron. It's affordable, less than $10 per person per meal. So get started now, everybody. Go to blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. 3 meals free with free shipping. blueapron.com/fantasyfootball. That's Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So I wanted to get all this stuff.
It was suggested by somebody on our sales staff that your entire wedding has been paid for by sponsorships.
Okay, so what do we have? We have Blue Apron for food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a nice Harry's shave before the wedding starts.
You're going to walk down the aisle to the Stranger Things theme.
Exactly. Heath, if you would like to come, there are plenty of tickets available on SeatGeek.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I don't want to go, so that's thank you.
Oh, come on. You and Dave, neither of you
want to
go?
Don't act like I should want to come when I wasn't invited.
Wow.
And things get awkward.
I knew you wouldn't want to come. So I wanted to get through the rest of this stuff before we brought Nando
on. It should be fun when the old Nando is upset about you not putting him in his wedding party, putting him in your wedding party, and the new Nando wasn't even invited to the wedding.
I think we can just talk football with Nando. That's kind of
that's not gonna happen.
I'm sure.
I want to talk about these late round picks and see who you guys like, but let's bring on our special guest. I asked him, can we delay it 5 minutes? He said, I will be ready at 3 o'clock as told. So I guess that means we can't delay it 5 minutes. So here's Nando DeFito. Hello, Nando. Hello, Nando.
You're really saying hi to me? Oh, so hey, what's up?
Yeah, hello. Adam. How you doing?
I'm all right.
All right, cool.
Nando, how excited are you for it? 2 weeks, right?
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'm glad. 2 weeks.
Did you get your tux?
No, I actually have a calendar alert that's 2 days old that I have to go to Men's Warehouse and ask for the Azer tuxedo.
You're not going to get it, Nando. They don't give it to anybody.
I bet you I can.
Nope. They have to make, you know, they have to fit it for you. So it's not, you know, it takes like a month. You waited too long.
I'm going to promise to buy like the tie. You know how they upsell you on ties? I'll be like, I'll just buy two ties if you tell me exactly what he's wearing.
This is perfect. Everybody can do this.
Oh, I already got mine. Adam doesn't know that.
Yeah. I'm not wearing the same thing. Like, I'm wearing my own tux.
No, Nando and I are coming dressed as groomsmen.
Okay.
I can't wait. I'm going to hold out. I'm going to. You know what we're going to do? Jamie and I are going to print out like fake pamphlets in the front of the church.
Don't ruin all the surprises.
We're just naked pictures of you on the inside, Azer.
Okay. So, Heath, what do you think of Nando so far? First time meeting.
I think we should start off with a story about how Nando has naked pictures of you.
Yeah, I actually would like to know that.
Thanks for poking a hole in my story, Heath.
All right. So let's try to talk a little bit of football here, guys. Nando, we did a mock draft the other day. Well, first of all, why don't you tell us about the Fantasy Sports Network? I'm not going to wait till the end for you to promote your product. You actually had an awesome bit the other day. You weren't on it. You should have been. But tell us about the Fantasy Sports Network and the Fantasy Shopping Network.
No, people don't want to hear that either.
Yes, they do.
They want to hear the poems that I wrote for you for your wedding.
No, they want
to. I want to hear.
Look, listen. It's awesome. So just go Google it, and that's it. I don't want to be that dude who shills.
But that's what you're on.
Just Google Fantasy Sports Network.
You've been on it, yeah. FNTSY. Spell it like that.
I'm saying that so people know what to Google, Nando. Of course, I've been on it.
Sorry, thank you. Yeah, yes.
Okay, so far worst interview we've done in a long time. Granted, we don't do too many. Nando, your boys at the Fantasy Sports Network made a case for Devontae Booker as a very good late round pick. Would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, you know, I'm actually kind of on board with that. You know, obviously we don't pressure anyone to say anything, but they made a lot of sense. Like CJ Anderson's let people down before. Jamal Charles, as tempting as he is, might not be healthy. This could be like one of those things where a guy just suddenly never plays again. That leaves it to Devontae Booker, who, you know, might be better than people remember.
What do you guys think?
Well, he's going to have to be better than he was.
But, or is just the offensive line better?
Yeah, that could be. Is that all he needs?
I mean, look, is he going to be Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson? No. But he could be David Johnson from 2 years ago, situation-wise, where it was Andre Ellington and Chris Johnson. Both guys get hurt, and then the young guy takes advantage of the situation and proves to be the best of the bunch. It's not – I mean, Adam, you suggested this when they got Charles, that – you have the two injured players in front of him, and you know maybe it's the kid that they drafted,
Henderson.
Could be him. It could still be Jamal Charles, but it's not a bad idea. I did this in that one dynasty draft. I took a late flyer on Booker just in case that he becomes the guy.
I think the late flyer part is the key. Like in a standard CBS draft, 14 or 15 rounds, I don't think there's a place to draft
him. I took him. I took him with the second to last pick of round 14. But I said this, Jamie, when they signed Jamal Charles.
Yes, you said that. Why are we getting away from Devontae Booker because of Anderson's injury struggles and Charles's current stats?
So Nando, your guys stole that from me.
He caught.
What, we stole the idea of a fake fantasy home shopping network. From you?
No, the Devontae Booker thing you stole from me. That's what
I said. Wait, on this fake fantasy shopping network, was there somebody dressed in a devil's outfit with bad feet tattoos?
That was a good idea.
Okay, very inside
joke. I
didn't
have a problem with that. Yeah.
Dave,
By the way, we
cut you off.
Just to keep us on track, to Jamie's question, that woman is the reason that Azer met his fiance. So.
I thought you were the reason. Yeah, I thought you were.
Well, I'm technically the reason, but she plays a role in the whole Destiny story. Which, by the way, his fiance's sister didn't know the story of how we met, so I feel like I'm being underplayed in the retelling of this tale.
Yeah. And
well, of course you are. That's how Adam keeps you out of the wedding party.
He's trying to keep you out of the room that the wedding's going to be in.
Azer, you're a real
Yes! Yes!
All right, so...
So my wife, tells me the other day, she's like, "Hey, Ellie's sister doesn't know how they met." I'm like, "Oh, that sounds typical for a guy who didn't ask the person who introduced him to be a groomsman." That's about right.
Yeah.
But Devontae Booker, right?
Right. Exactly. So other late round picks that I thought were interesting. Jacquizz Rodgers, Jonathan Stewart, and Latavius Murray were three of the first four picks of round 10. Jacquizz Rodgers, Jonathan Stewart, and Latavius Murray. Dave Richard, who's your favorite of that group? Jacquizz, Jonathan Stewart, or Latavius? Who's your favorite?
It's Jacquizz Rodgers because he's the one that's going to start the season in a role where fantasy owners will feel comfortable putting him in their lineups. I love the idea of getting him after getting Doug Martin. You're going to have to spend a pick in round 6 or 7 on DeMarc, and then you come back 2-3 rounds later, you get Jacquizz Rodgers. And then whichever way the Buccaneers' run game goes, you start that running back week to week, you should be able to get some decent production out of that guy. I don't see a situation where Martin and Rodgers split 70% of the running back workload for Tampa Bay. And I think he's got the most potential to be a season-long helpful player for your team compared to the other guys you listed.
Okay, yeah, and remember D'Angelo Williams, people were drafting him with just to get a couple of weeks out of him, and he got you 28 fantasy points at Washington and 18 fantasy points against Cincinnati in weeks 1 and 2 in standard scoring leagues, and an additional 10 catches in those two games in weeks 1 and 2. And Le'Veon Bell missed three games last year with the suspension.
Yes.
And D'Angelo was not good in the third game. Anybody disagree? Nando, you want to weigh in? Jacquizz, Jonathan Stewart, Latavius Murray? Any preference there?
I just want to know why Heath wasn't invited to the wedding.
That is a great question.
You work with him every
person
day.
That works. Like I went around and did a poll here in the office, and everybody I've talked to was invited to the wedding, except for me.
Right. Three people from the office were invited. I'm sorry, Heath. Okay, so let's go to our next interesting late-round picks. Marquise Lee and Josh Doctson in the middle of round 11. Jamie, who do you like better, Marquise Lee or Josh Doctson?
Oh, Josh Doctson. I don't think it's very close just because of how the Jaguars' offense is probably going to look. Their defense will be better. They clearly upgraded their running game. They don't want Blake Bortles to throw the ball that much. Allen Hurns will be back. So Marquise Lee will have a very prominent role. They'll probably use a lot more three-receiver sets than we saw in the past now that Julius Thomas is gone. But Josh Doctson could, you know, be anywhere from the best receiver in Washington to most likely the third best, but he's going to be on the field a lot if he's healthy.
Is anybody?
I'll play devil's advocate.
Yeah, go ahead.
With Marquise Lee, who on many fewer targets was not too far off of what Allen Robinson did last year, and he was more explosive than Allen Robinson. And I agree 100% with what Jamie said about the direction of the Jacksonville offense. I think they're going to try and be far more conservative, lean on Leonard Fournette, let the defense get some turnovers or have the opponent, you know, punt the ball, and then they've got an opportunity. I don't think they're going to be playing from behind nearly as much as they have been. I think that offense can still support one receiver. And I know that Allen Robinson is going to be the guy that's picked first, and I've got him right ahead of Marquise Lee. But it wouldn't surprise me if Marquise Lee ended up being a pretty good player for Jacksonville, given his speed, given what we saw last year from both him and Allen Robinson. I think he could end up being one of the best late picks that a fantasy owner can make.
So now you're playing devil's advocate. Are you actually ranking Marquise Lee ahead of Josh Doctson, or are you just making the case?
Yeah. Until I see Doctson running around like the gazelle we expect him to be. That's how it is.
That whole Washington wide receiver core is interesting because I expect big things out of Terrell Pryor.
I think Washington is too.
Jameson Crowder could get a ton of targets.
He's going to be so good.
I hope he is.
Then Doctson might have the most upside of all of them.
Yep.
Let me get Nando involved here. Nando, it's my understanding that our significant others are hanging out on Friday. Would you like to hang out with me?
Come on, dude. It's their bachelorette party.
No, it's not. That's on Saturday.
It's the weekend.
Okay, but I'm just saying, what are you doing? Like, would you like to hang out with me while they hang out with each other?
Well, I was actually going to talk about Marquise Lee.
No, you were not.
I want to hear what Nando has to say about Marquise Lee.
I want to know who was closer to being invited, Heath or Herc?
Herc.
Who got the closest to being invited?
Herc.
For sure, Herc.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Heath.
don't be. I was really sweating that. I was afraid I was going to get an invitation, then I'd be obligated to buy a gift.
Oh, I should have just gotten you. I should just invite you. Hey, Heath, what are you doing, July? All right, so let's go to our next round of late round picks. Nando, we just talk philosophy here. Rounds 11 and 12, we have four maybe five pass-catching running backs in a standard scoring league being drafted. Duke Johnson, Theo Riddick, Darren Sproles, C.J. Procise, and Deion Lewis. It's a little unclear, I guess, what Lewis's role would be, but Duke Johnson, Theo Riddick, Darren Sproles, C.J. Procise, and Deion Lewis. Nanu, do you draft pass-catching running backs in standard scoring leagues?
I think you do because you're still going to get yards from them. I mean, you could bank on maybe 40 yards from them on a good week if someone emerges from that group and you get them kind of late, and that's still 4 points. I think Duke Johnson's the guy in that group I'm kind of most intrigued by. I know everyone's on the Isaiah Crowell train, but you know, Hugh Jackson has kind of a history of using a Duke Johnson type in his offense. And maybe that first year in Cleveland, he just got handed a team that wasn't really his. I mean, you saw the ascension of Terrell Pryor and the kind of RG3 in and out due to injury or not. I don't know, man. I think Duke Johnson maybe fits a plan that Hugh Jackson wanted to implement, but he wasn't able to until year two because of the personnel. So I like him.
Fellas?
Duke is their third down back for sure. And if you look at his splits last year, he barely played on first and second downs, did a lot of work on third downs. And they're going to play a lot of third downs. They're going to be a lot of passing situations. So I get where you're coming from with Dukey. I'm taking Riddick ahead of this group. I'm not excited about it. I'm glad we're talking about these guys under the umbrella of a double-digit round pick in a standard league. I think that that's what Riddick is. I think he's a guy that can provide depth for your team. He's on a Detroit offense that will use him. They're going to use two running backs. It's just the way that things are in Jim Caldwell's world. As much as we want to see them run Amir Abdullah 20 times a game, they won't do it. And I think Riddick's got the passing downs job on lock.
Yeah, and I've got all these guys in a very similar tier. It'd be hard to argue passionately for one over the other, but Riddick is my favorite.
Who's got the most upside?
Probably Procise.
Do you think Procise can handle, like, if Eddie Lacy gets heavy and Thomas Rawls gets hurt again? I mean, Procise is going to be wedged into that job.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if the Seahawks coaches would be nervous putting him in that position.
Well, I think they would be, but I don't have any reason to think he's less likely to be able to handle a full workload. I mean, we saw that Theo Riddick can't be that guy.
Right.
I don't think Duke Johnson can be that guy. I don't think Darren Sproles can be that guy. So I don't know if any of these
guys... I think
guys...
Deion Lewis could be that guy. The problem is he's on a team with a bunch of other running backs who could also be that guy.
Right.
Is it possible, Jamie, that Deion Lewis is the best running back on New England and could see work to indicate that?
Sure, it's possible. I mean, we saw 2 years ago before the ACL injury that he was, you know, not a heavy workload, but he was electric in the touches that he got. And this offense allows running backs to get a lot of space because you have to respect the passing game, especially what they added this offseason. The question would always be with him, can he stay healthy and can he, you know, be consistently good at the goal line, which I think is what they're looking for, that short yardage situation type of guy, a guy that could wear down teams in the fourth quarter. That's really not the way he's built. So, but just in terms of talent, he could easily be the best player in New England's backfield. Yes.
I got two more rounds of late round picks here. Let's just do this really quickly. We'll let Nanda. Yes.
Azer.
What?
Remember when you had your bachelor party 8 months ago?
Yeah, I do. Thank you for coming.
And you did a weekend no one could go?
Everybody went but you.
I didn't get invited to that.
I didn't get invited.
No, no, wait. Hold on. Dave and I did get invited the day of the dinner. He said, hey, by the way, I've been meaning to ask you guys, do you want to come to dinner tonight? For me, it was two counties away from where I live. And for Dave, it was probably about an hour away from where he lives.
I don't know.
Hey, me and 17 of my friends are going to dinner. You want to come just on a whim?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Round 12.
I got it.
Round 12, Kenny Stills or Sterling Shepard? Who's a better pick in round 12? Let's go Nando first. Kenny Stills or Sterling Shepard?
I still like Kenny Stills. I struck out on him bad last year. I thought he was going to be the number one wide out there. I thought he was going to have some kind of connection with Ryan Tannehill. I still think the skill might eventually win out. So I would go Kenny Stills. I'm not crazy about both of or either of them, but I think Brandon Marshall is going to take away a lot of what Sterling Shepard could have done otherwise this year.
Where did you strike out? He led them in touchdowns.
Yeah, he had nine. Didn't he have nine touchdowns last year?
Yeah, but it was like game by game. I just remember like Kenny Stills again did like, you know, 30 yards. And Kenny Stills is, you know, hobbled by whatever and he's getting 20 yards. And the games where he did well, I didn't start him.
Unless you were hyping him up to be a top 20 guy, you struck out. But I think if you're just telling people to take him a late round pick, then you did well.
But then I guess
except
it
was a little difficult to predict when you could start still.
But that's any receiver that you take late that's not going to, you know, turn into Michael Thomas.
You could set your watch to Sterling Shepard last year. He found a way to score almost every week. He was crazy. Not every week, half the season. But
you say the same thing about Stills, the way he closed the season.
He did.
I don't
really love either of these guys. I think Stills has a little more upside, and we haven't seen Devontae Parker take what he's done on the practice field ever and put it on the game field. So I think Stills probably is a little bit more of a excitement factor for fantasy.
Go with Shepard, and I'll say that he's the Giants' number two wide receiver.
Ooh. Wow. You really hate Odell Beckham, huh?
Brandon Marshall's washed.
Why?
He was awful last year.
He was on the Jets last year.
So was Quincy Enunwa, and so was Robbie Anderson.
And
they were both better than Brandon Marshall.
Well, Marshall, what do you mean they were both better than Brandon?
They were more efficient on a per-target and per-catch basis, both.
And in his defense, Brandon Marshall, one of three receivers with 120-plus targets that failed to finish in the top 24. The other two were Allen Robinson and DeAndre Hopkins.
I'm not ready to call him washed up yet.
Yeah, to me that says they were forcing the ball to Marshall when he wasn't open and he was covered, so the other guys were open.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. I mean, if you talk about those other two names, DeAndre Hopkins and Allen Robinson, they had bad years with the same amount of targets or similar targets. That doesn't mean they're washed up. I don't know.
I don't think Brandon Marshall's washed up, but there were chances for him to be better, whether forced, not forced, covered, not covered. He had opportunities that 22 other guys had.
They had terrible quarterbacks, all three of those guys. Terrible quarterbacks.
Yes, but they're not the only ones that had terrible quarterbacks that finished in that range.
Last one. Late round pick. Charles Sims, Giovanni Bernard. Charles Sims, Giovanni Bernard. Nando, who you like in round 13?
Charles Sims.
Jamie, who you like in round 13, Sims or Bernard?
Did you want analysis?
No, that's fine.
Did you take a shower today?
I did, yeah.
You didn't. You lied.
Liar.
I can see it on the Skype.
False.
You did not.
I got a haircut today, and I took a shower when I got home at about 1 p.m.
Is this the wedding haircut?
Yeah, it's the wedding haircut.
Wow.
You're not getting another haircut before the wedding?
2 weeks.
That's scary, man.
2 weeks. No.
You got to get one like the day before.
No
Adam.
Way. No. I don't like it short. No way.
You got to get at least a little trimmed. You have to look your best. It's your wedding day.
I am going to look my best. That's why I got a haircut today. I planned this out. Jamie, Sims or Bernard?
Wait. Can we go back on that a little bit?
Bernard.
How often do you plan 2 weeks ahead for your haircut? Like, what other big occasions have you done this?
My other weddings, Nando. This is the only time in my life.
About graduations.
No.
What else have you planned ahead?
That's it.
For the big day.
All right. You know what? I asked people for questions for Nando. And here's what I got. One from
Adam.
What?
I feel like Heath hasn't talked enough on this. I feel kind of like you should involve him more.
Let me run the show, all right? Ernie McCracken. Do you know what movie that's from, Nando? Big Earn?
Well, let me guess. What's the movie where the kid messes up his arm and you think you look like him?
Rookie of the Year? No, Big Earn McCracken is not in Rookie of the Year. He's in Kingpin.
Yeah, thank you. By the way, Jamie, yeah. I've been thinking about this.
Killing me.
I'm sorry, Dave actually was his frat brother. I think Dave Azer's, I don't know if he has a girlfriend or not, but he's going to clean up at your wedding. All these girls are the exact age for Slime Time Live kind of nostalgia. They all know your brother.
They're
if your
a little
brother doesn't
I think
out
you're
of the
right,
wedding
and he
with
is
two
a
women on
man.
His arms, yeah,
what
that's
about...
going to be.
No, you're,
will anybody
you're
show up in a 4Runner?
Yeah, no, you're wrong, Nando. They're all a little bit too old.
No, they're not. I've heard them talk about. Do you know who Adam's brother is?
Uh-huh.
Dave Azer.
So
funny forerunner story.
Here's
emailed her to get some stories about Azer for the podcast, and she never wrote back.
Good, thank God. Ernie says, "Why is Nando appearing on a football podcast in June instead of baseball?"
I don't get along with Scott White.
Fair.
There.
Scott White or Heath? Who's closer? Scott White or Heath?
Scott.
Oh, for sure, Scott.
Jeez. How about Heath or Christine, the girl who used to work the front desk at the office?
Heath.
All right, congratulations.
See, Heath, you made it.
Next question for Nando. What is the this is from Kurt. What is the Mount Rushmore of baseball movies? I don't know why he asked that, but he did. What is the Mount Rushmore of baseball movies?
Oh, Bull Durham, The Natural. Major League, and I don't know. I'll defer my last one to Heath.
I'm just glad you didn't say Moneyball. I was going to hang up.
No.
Sandlot.
Yeah.
Sandlot, you know, That's a pretty good list right there off the top of your head. That's good stuff. Bull Durham, the Natural, Major League, and Sandlot.
Not Rookie of the Year, Starry Adam Mazur?
No.
Guys, I don't make me sing about Rookie of the Year.
Strums his guitar. Da-da-da-da.
And Don wants to know, what advice do you have for the future Mr. and Mrs. Azer?
I don't know. Maybe show a little more respect to the people who introduced you.
You don't
Maybe I'm not a groomsman. Maybe there'll be Ferdinando Azer in about 2 years.
You don't want to be a groomsman.
Is it Ferdinando or Fernando?
No, it's Ferdinando.
Yeah, okay. Why would you
sure?
Why would you want to be a groomsman?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Azer's mom addressed the rehearsal dinner envelope that I'm sure Jamie and Dave also got to Fernando DeFino. Thank you for reminding me.
You forgot about that?
Yeah, I forgot about it because you blamed your mom, which is a pretty messed up thing to do.
You did it on the air. I just told you what happened, for God's sake.
Now the whole Azer family is going to hear this.
That wasn't cool.
And they'll know how to say Nando's first name.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
It'll be.
I'm sure Adam didn't correct them.
It'll be after all the wedding parties introduced, and oh, by the way, Fernando DeFino. I mean, Fernando DeFino.
Hey, man.
I can't wait till I meet his parents, and they're like, so how do you know Adam?
Yeah, they're not going to know who you are. Plus, at least you got invited to the rehearsal dinner. Some people have been complaining about that. Should we end this fun, or should we read some emails?
No, Nando has toast for you.
All right, hit me with it.
I didn't have a chance. I didn't have a chance to write a toast.
Oh.
I wrote like 8 poems, Adam. I'm going to give you the titles. Tell me which one you want to hear.
Look, man, I don't have time to bleep everything out, so just spare me, all right?
Pick one. You pick your best one.
Adam has all the luck. Adam's a big fan of Adam, like another This wedding will be Adam has a Adam has the mean. Adam's a huge. Which one do you want to hear?
Those are all pretty good, Adam.
I don't want to hear any of those.
All right.
Yes, yes.
I want to hear all of them twice.
Yes.
Not no DeFino, everybody. Thank you.
No, one. Just read one.
No, don't read one. It's going to get so bleeped that nobody's going to be able to understand it.
So what? It'll be the best thing ever.
Wait, Azer, I blocked a whole hour. Are you kicking me off now?
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't
off
tell
now.
Me that.
Sorry, Nando. I'm sorry to inconvenience you. Okay, guys. Well, that was a fun show.
Your time, Nando. You did great. And I
hey,
can't
thanks,
wait
guys.
To see you and all your buddies on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Hey, I'll see you guys at dessert, not at the rehearsal dinner. Heath, I guess.
Hey, I'll look forward to meeting you one day. Maybe somebody else will get married.
Thanks, Azer.
All right. Hey, Nando, seriously, Fantasy Sports Network, tell them what they need to know.
Just go to FN. Actually, you know, go to the YouTube page and search for FNTSY. And don't forget that Adam's a. Who didn't invite Jamie and Dave to the rehearsal dinner?
Dave's not coming to the wedding, Nando. Are you not aware of this?
I wouldn't come to the wedding if I wasn't invited to the rehearsal. You're lucky I'm coming, and I'm not even a groomsman, and I introduce you to your wife.
That's it.
Have you heard the story before? Bye. I love you.